So prayer in James, we're coming to the end of this journey through the book of James. Been a good journey, hasn't it? Well, I've enjoyed it anyway. You may not have done, but there you go. Such is life. So as in many other passages that we read in our Bible, the book of James encourages us to pray and shows us the various aspects and circumstances of prayer. It shows us the value of prayer throughout his book. We're encouraged to pray for wisdom. We're encouraged to pray for wisdom that Steve was talking about a few weeks ago in James 1. James rebukes prayer that is motivated by impure motives. Who's that then? James chapter 4. And encourages us to pray in a variety of life circumstances that we have, assuring us that prayer changes things for the better. That's in chapter 5. And that's where I want to begin. Chapter 5, verse 13 to 18. It says this, no, I'm not. I'm going to do it to 15. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, you will be forgiven. That's most of us then, isn't it, really? We're involved in there. So did you see the cycle that James is showing you? Pray to God when you're happy. Pray to God when you're sad. Pray to God when you go through difficulties. Pray to God when you're uncertain or scared. Or maybe you're at the crossroads. You know, the great thing is that he hears our cries and he hears our hearts. That's what the Bible says. He'll listen to our prayers. He sees our struggles. And he even celebrates in our happiness. I remember in the 80s, there was this phrase going around in church, well, it was in the Brethren churches, don't let your prayers become medicine bottles, that you only take them down when you're in pain. Rather like a dog is for life, not Christmas, prayer is for life, not just difficulties. I wonder, have you heard the phrase, seasons in your life? Someone will say to you, oh, you're going through a season. They're trying to encourage you and show you, like the environmental seasons that change, that this particular period of your life will change and it will become a different season soon. Linda and I, we've been through a season together, and then that's because we're unusual. We went through a season apart for 4 years, and now we've come back together again. We are very strange. We've had health issues that have given us various seasons. Some have been, no, never mind. Some have been more serious. They've involved chemotherapy and rushes to hospital in the middle of the night with a husband in her underpants, but we won't go there. Because I walked out of the house saying I was going to save the world, apparently. But there you go. So what chemo does to you, it does muck you up a little bit. So, let me ask you a question. What season are you in now, where you are? Well, you know, James is a real help because he shows us how to pray through the various seasons in our lives, not just the good, not just the bad. You know, the great thing is, no matter what season you're in, there is always an opportunity to pray. Isn't that good? So, after encouraging oppressed believers to endure their sufferings patiently as they wait on Christ's return, James 5, I think I spoke on that one, I think. James challenges them to pray in all situations and all circumstances. The word prayer occurs 7 times between James 13 and 18. In verse 13, he calls us to pray. In verses 14 and 15, he calls on the elders, the church leaders, to pray for those who are sick. That's a good practice, isn't it? Verse 16, he calls on the church members to pray for each other. Even better thing, isn't it? Can I ask a question? How often do we use the prayer guide? Did you know something? I'll tell you something now. I've embarrassed 2 people in the church, but I like embarrassing 2 people in the church because I'm up here. So when it's my turn, on the prayer list, I get a text message from two people. I get one for Lou, I get one from Ruth. And they, each day, they do you want anything in particular to pray for? It's brilliant to know that that particular day, I'm prayed for. Isn't that great? And that's what the Bible encourages us to do, to pray for each other. Going off piste a little bit there. I did warn Matt that I do go off a piste, but there you go. We get there. In verse 17 and 18, he reminds us about Elijah as an example of prayerful faith. Read the stories of Elijah. That really does encourage you. Like Paul challenging the Thessalonians to pray continually or without ceasing, James is doing the same thing, that we should pray in every circumstance and every season in our life because prayer is powerful. According to James 5, anyway, that's what it says. How do we pray these various seasons in our lives? Well, first thing he says is anyone suffering? You should pray. Full stop. James says suffering, but if you've got the NIV, it says in trouble, the believer should pray. Why is he emphasizing that to us? Because basically, that's not always our first response. Sometimes, instead of praying, we try to fix the situation on our own. Who are fixers in the room? Prayer is a real challenge when you're a fixer, because you try to fix things on your own. Other times, instead of praying, we worry. We complain. We get angry at God. We get angry at each other. We even get depressed. James says, when suffering, we should pray. You know, the word pray is in the present tense, so I'm told, because I'm not good at English, which actually can be translated, let us keep on praying. You know, continual prayer is the cure for the suffering believer. It reminds us that we are not in control, but that God is in control. And you know, the brilliant thing about it is it brings all of God's resources to bear on our situation, because we're bringing them into our situation. Philippians 4 says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's great to know that you get a sense of peace. Do you ever get a sense of peace when you're praying through turmoil? It is very hard, isn't it? You know, I remember trips to the Philippines on a mission trip. And boy, did that open my eyes to the realities of faith in action. Go visit the Philippines, I'll tell you. You soon know about what the realities of faith are there. You know, they pray for everything. They pray for life decisions. They pray for health issues. They pray when they've got a toothache. They pray when they've got a headache. They pray when they've got upset stomachs. Everything was prayed about. The morning prayer meeting lasted a lot longer than the sermon, because everyone wanted to pray, because you know they believed that God was in control. And they were at peace, because we've given it to God and we'll let him go and do what he wants to do. I had a lady come up to me at the end of the service, and she wanted me to pray and lay hands on her son. So I said, okay, so what do you want me to pray for? And she said, for him to grow strong and healthy and to love the Lord. That's good, isn't it? So I said, where is she? Where is he? Sorry. And she went. So she even believed that God would listen to those prayers for her unborn son. It just knocked me back. But I could see in her eyes there was that sense of peace, because she's now left it with God. Isn't that amazing? God promises us peace to those who pray. Do not be anxious about anything. Instead, in every situation, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, tell your requests to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. But it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to find that place of peace when we're going through difficulties and turmoils. Isn't it? Or is it just me? I think it's probably just me then. Instead of being anxious, we should pray in every situation and give thanks. Make our request known to God. That's what it says. When worry or doubt or anger creeps in, we should pray. You know, I know it sounds like one of those pat phrases that speakers roll out, having no clue for your own particular circumstances or situations, your lives or your struggles. And it can be really annoying, can't it? You have to say, yes, I don't mind, you know, broad shoulders, broad everything, but there you go. I've seen all too often the damage done by those throwaway comments. Oh, well, you're not praying enough. You know, I want to stress that it's our responsibility to come alongside those who are struggling and to encourage them and to support them and, yes, to pray with them. You know, having been a senior leader in another church, I know it's not helpful to criticise people in that way. Oh, you're not praying enough. Instead, they need our love and our caring and our understanding. You know, that's what I see in John and Lou when I started coming to this church. The caring and the time that they give to people, not criticising. We're encouraged to pray for them, no matter what they're going through. And sometimes what they're going through prevents them praying to God. Well, that's when we step in, don't we? As a praying church. Ever heard the word intercessory prayer? Intercessing on someone else's behalf? Because they don't have the words. The pain is too hard. We as a church have a real privilege, I say privilege, and a responsibility to get alongside them and to pray for them. You know, when I sat in the consultant's office with Linda and they showed us a 3D scan of my one and only kidney, I was only ever born with one kidney. And these 3D scans are amazing. It's just, it's like Star Trek. And the whole of the kidney was just covered in this cancerous mass. So we prayed. Now, we're not super spiritual, far from it. We weren't in denial or foolhardy, but it seemed to us that the best option at that particular time was to pray, because, honestly, I couldn't do anything about it. And from that day on, we were in complete peace about the situation and about the circumstances. So the 29th of July 2011, I went in for surgery. 12 years on, to the dismay of my renal team, here I am with half a kidney, still trucking on. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. The key, I believe, was coined by Dr. Badana, who was my renal specialist. We used to have clinics, and as he was a teacher of renal medicine, he often had a couple of students. And what he used to do is he used to give them the synopsis of my condition, and he would say, what's the prognosis and what's the treatment plan? And they all said the same thing. Well, yes, he's obviously on dialysis, and this and that and the other. And so Dr. Badana said, Mr. Murray, tell them how long you've been on dialysis. And I say, I'm not. And they look at, but that's not what you're teaching. He said, oh no, Mr. Murray's church prays. And that's what he said in the consulting room. Mr. Murray's church prays. Again, it's yes. 2 Corinthians 1 says this, God is called the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles. 1 Peter 5, Peter says, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. So what they're urging you is to go to God. Allow God to come into the situation that you are in. And you know, it's through this relationship of prayer that we experience that godly comfort. What can we pray when suffering? Well, when problems arise, we can ask God to remove that difficulty from our life, if it's his will. Do you remember Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 asking for his thorn to be taken away? Well, you know, if you read the text, he didn't ask. What does it say? He pleaded with God three times. But God reminded him, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul, during this time. Jesus asked the cup of suffering be taken away from him, didn't he? In the garden, in Luke 22. You know, sometimes God will remove the cause of our difficulties. However, sometimes he doesn't. And that's when we get to God, to trust God more. And we do have to be comfortable that God's answer isn't always yes. But I know it's hard. We are promised in the Bible that we are not on our own. And that God will sustain us. Just imagine Paul on the third request saying, right, well that's it then, I give up. If you're not healing me, I'm giving up. Did you know that Paul wrote some of his most helpful, poignant letters in his later ministry? Still while dealing with that thorn in the flesh. And of course, Linda and I prayed for healing. Our friends prayed. Our friends around the world prayed for my healing. I even had someone write to me and say, I'm asking God to grow you a new kidney and I'm believing it. Well, the kidney didn't grow. My cancer came just as I was appointed a senior leader of a different church. So I had lots to do, so it was very inconvenient. What I will say is God was most definitely with us. And he sustained me and is sustaining me. Despite the renal team saying, you have to go on dialysis. To date, I haven't, and there's no signs that that is imminent. I've got a kidney function of 34, whatever that means. You might be able to tell me later. But as far as I'm aware, I'm still good to go. God's answer for me wasn't yes. And I'm happy with that, because I felt that he was with me despite this. And that's important for us to understand. Despite this, God was still with me. That's what James shows us in the beginning of his book, in James 1. My brothers and sisters, consider it nothing but joy when you fall into all sorts of trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect effect, so that you will be perfect and complete, not deficient in anything. It sounds a bit masochistic, that, enjoying your pain. It's not about the pain, it's not about the sorrow, it's not about the difficulties. It's more about our relationship with God and showing that through that relationship we are comforted and we are sustained even when we're going through the most difficult of trials. But I need us to understand that God's answer isn't always yes, and it's a pain in the neck, isn't it? And it gets in the way. But God doesn't abandon us. He sustains us where we are. How often have we prayed for Lou? And still she keeps on trucking, isn't it? It's okay to be comfortable with God saying, not yet. And so James flips the coin then. When believers are happy, they should sing praises to God. What does it say? Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises to God. Let's have a slurp. James says that if a person is cheerful, which in the NIV says happy, we should sing praises. You know, praise is a form of prayer where we thank God for his goodness, for who he is, even thanking him for the joy that he has given us. Who's in joy today? Oh, good, that's some of us then. Yes, yes. And it's great to be in joy. You know, it's not all about the miserable things, the Christian life. It's all about the good things as well. No doubt the reason that James commands us to worship when we are happy is because it can be a bit uncommon. What do you mean, Uncle Dunk? It's actually when we're happy and when things are going well that we are prone to forget God, isn't it? Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." So how should we practice this? Praise when things are happy. Some useful tips come here. You shouldn't build one person over another one. We have a fantastic worship team, don't we? And every morning when we start, they just get us prepared for what we're going to encounter that day. Isn't it wonderful that they spend that time leading us into worship? So how do we replicate that? Well, maybe we get a hymn book or mission praise book, and we sing the songs that are meaningful for us. Do you ever do that? Sing a song. Linda's doing it all the time. I have to shut down sometimes. Shh, Linda, I'm trying to do something. But she'll sing at the drop of a hat. Probably lose the same. They're within the same singing group. Sometimes it's good to memorize a particular song that encourages us and helps us draw into God's presence. I'm not a big singer, but I love Casting Crowns, and I play continually. There's a song called Does anybody hear her? So really, it gets the heckles on the back of my neck. Oh, it's really good. It's a song about Christians criticizing other people, actually, but it does get the hairs on the back of my neck going. Sing songs that encourage us to be in God's presence. Perhaps we get a praise and worship CD and put it in the car and sing on the way to work. I know Liz will be singing at the top of her voice tomorrow. Yes, a new experience. Sing at home. Not while your husband's watching the rugby, it doesn't help. While we're driving and while we're working, I found out when I started my new job 3 or 4 years ago, it's a lovely family business. You guys know Simon and Adele, but they've actually got a license to play music in the factory so they can play songs and things. It's good. I actually listen to my audiobooks when I'm doing the boring jobs. Don't tell Simon that I said that. But when you're counting 20 washes into a bag and you've got 600 bags to do, it gets a bit boring. And so I tend to listen to my audiobooks then. But I could sing, I suppose. Worship music is a way to expressing the thanksgiving in our hearts. It's also a way of reminding us of God's goodness when things are going well, as well as when things are going bad. Praising good times and bad times. When we're considering James' command to sing, we must ask ourselves, how often do we actually sing praises to God? Outside of church-led worship, that is. Ephesians 5 says this, "Do not be drunk on wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart." Paul gives us that encouragement to worship. I know what you're thinking now. Lord, please don't let Duncan come up and sing to me. I can feel it. I can feel it coming through. And it's not a joy, and it's not melodic. I think the Bible says to Steve, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Yes. I make a noise joyfully unto the Lord. But you know, my favourite psalm is Psalm 150. Who knows Psalm 150? Yeah, you'll know it. You'll know when I sing it to you. I'm going to sing it to you, I'll say it to you. Praise the Lord in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet. Praise him with the lute. Praise him with harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. You haven't seen me dance, have you? Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. There we go. We've got some bongos over there. We can get some cymbals and we'll have a great hoo-ha next week. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Here's an experiment for you. Bit of audience participation. It's good when that happens. Hold your hands up in front of your face and blow. Who didn't feel a breath? Because we got two doctors here, just in case. Who didn't feel a breath? Ah, so we all did. So, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's you and me. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. As we finish, it's good when a preacher says finish, isn't it? Sometimes they last. Not finish. I'm aiming to finish. We need to understand that James calls us to pray. We pray to show that God is in control and we're not. That's important to understand. We pray in order to bring God's resources into our own circumstance and situation. And we can prove that in different ways. And you probably won't have all major things going on in your life, but whatever we have, we pray. When we pray, we have to acknowledge that God's answer for us isn't always yes, but also that God is with us and will sustain us, despite it being no. We really, really, really have to understand that, don't we? I remember, I can't remember whether it was Beth or Rachel, but they asked for something. It seemed a logical thing that they were asking for. I won't tell you what it is, because it will embarrass them if ever they listen to this. But I felt I had to say no. And I felt really horrible saying no. Because I love my daughters. Even though they wind me up. But I love them. And I want to protect them. And so I had to say no, and I felt bad saying no. But then I was able to go and give them a cuddle and say, look, come on, let's go and do something different. And that's God. God says to us sometimes, no. But puts an arm around us and let's go do something different. And that's okay. When things are going well, we're encouraged to worship and sing praises to God, not forgetting him because everything is going well. If our Christian experience is the experience of a God of a medicine bottle, then we won't get to this point. James shows us that prayer is powerful in all circumstances. And that graphic at the top there, that cycle that James encourages us. Pray to God when we're happy. Pray to God when we're sad. Pray to God when we go through difficulties. Pray to God when we're uncertain or scared. Maybe we're at the crossroads. He will hear our cries. And he definitely, definitely, absolutely, 100% listens to our prayers. What's that wonderful verse? Is it 2 Chronicles 7:14? Talks about the prayers offered in this place, I will be attentive to. And this place is wherever you are, okay? It's not just, it's valuable when I'm in church, it's also valuable when you're at home or when you're in the car. Wherever you are, it is valuable. Prayer is our communication to God. There are times you'll find it's hard to believe that I've actually annoyed my daughters and they haven't spoken to me for a little bit. Because I've annoyed them. Do you know, as a parent, that's the most horrible time of your life when your kids don't talk to you. Pick up the phone, talk to me. You know, and they're, no, I'm not talking to you, miserable old bloke. And you feel sad, and you feel cross, and oh. Then all of a sudden you get a message, hey, do you want to come round for lunch tomorrow? Oh, yes, I'll come round for lunch. You know, God, I think God feels like that. Why won't you talk to me? I'm here. I have all these things that we can share together, but you're not talking to me. That's what prayer is all about, bringing us into God's presence. So let us pray as we finish before Jonathan comes up and leads us another song. You know, was it the 80s? When Billy Graham came to the UK and we had these prayer triplets. Do you remember those? You had a little prayer triplet card that you fold out and you put three names that you wanted to see led to the Lord. And so there was nine names that you prayed for. You came together once a week to pray, and that was great, but you prayed every day for these nine names. It was a wonderful thing. A little card you kept in your wallet or your handbag or your purse or whatever. That's a good idea, isn't it? Hey, oh, you almost did a... Some of that would have been good, wouldn't it? Here's the thing. Why not gather together with a couple of people and say, can we pray together? You've got this wonderful thing now called WhatsApp. Goodness me, look at this. I'll show you this now. I'll show you this. Technology. WhatsApp. I've got all these WhatsApp groups and everything. Got church chairs. What's I got? Church chairs. What's the last message? From Ali. I'm going up at 9:30. Well, that's good. What else have I got? I've got mates. That's Simon and Vanessa. Lou and I, we've got a little group. We've got some happy smiley faces. So that's good. So, if we can go for these sorts of frivolous things, can't we just talk to a couple of people and say, would you be my prayer partner? And we can pray for each other every day. That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? Or you could send a little WhatsApp message or just say, how you doing? Wouldn't that be fantastic? Just putting that there. We're going to pray. Jonathan's going to come and lead us in worship. Afterwards, I like to do this. You might not feel comfortable with it, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to sit down here at the front. And if you want prayer for something particular, then come along and let's pray. And that's good. I'll turn the microphone off so no one else can hear. And so that'd be brilliant. Father God, we want to thank you that you've used this book of James over these last few weeks to encourage us as a church, to ask for wisdom, to wait patiently for you, to not show favoritism to people, and to pray. And Lord, we know that sometimes when we pray in the most urgent of circumstances, you are there listening to us. But sometimes you say no, and we have to be all right with that. Because you love us and you care for us and you sustain us. We thank you for that power that you give us. Pray that you give us that real sense of peace in our hearts that we can leave it with Father. And that as that good, good Father, you say no because you love us. You say yes because you want to celebrate with us. We thank you for that relationship that we can have with you. Our good, good Father.